Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska is studying local salmon populations by aerial drone, and the Raiders have a home swim meet this weekend. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, September 6th, 2018. Unalaska's first drone-operated salmon survey is now underway. The Unalaska Native Fishermen's Association has hired Andy Dietrich of Aleutian Aerial LLC to capture video of salmon habitat at Unalaska Lake, Summer Bay Lake, and Morris Cove. The goal is to estimate the size of the island's largely unmonitored fish populations. And to collect that data, Dietrich says he's filming in a 35mm format that approaches cinema quality.
We're throwing the highest end of technology at this. The video it can shoot is 6K resolution, and it's a 24 megapixel camera. We're still just looking down at water with a polarizer, but it will give us all the advantages that we possibly can have.
Dietrich says he's shooting at a high frame rate, so biologists will be able to pause the footage and count individual salmon without any blur. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game hopes to gauge the number of sockeye and potentially coho. Dietrich says they will not use the data for any kind of in-season fishery management.
We're doing the fall habitat surveys around the edge of the lake. It's not like we're going to make some decision whether or not people can go out and get their fish. But I think they're looking at that in the future.
Biologists may also expand drone surveys to McLees Lake. They weren't able to monitor that run this summer after losing funding for the Wislow Fish Weir. Officials will weigh potential expansion this fall after reviewing drone data and funding options. Meanwhile, the Unalaska Native Fishermen's Association is considering whether to apply for nonprofit status as a 501c3 organization. UNFA already receives about $20,000 each year through the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Community Development Association, but members say becoming an official nonprofit could open the door to grant funding, including grants from the City of Unalaska. Today is the last chance for tribal members to declare candidacy for the Kawalungan Tribal Council. The ballot will include three seats currently held by Blaine Shiznikoff, Harriet Barakoff, and Nikolai Lakanoff Jr. All three seats come with three-year terms, and prospective candidates must file at the tribal office by 5 o'clock tonight. The tribal election is slated for October 6th. Western Alaska has reported the state's highest rate of felony-level sex offenses for at least the past 3 years. That's according to the Alaska Department of Public Safety, which released the latest data last week. KDLG's Avery Lill has more.
The state has been putting out the felony-level sex offense supplemental report for 3 years. All 3 years, Western Alaska has ranked as the most dangerous region in terms of reported sexual violence. The western region includes Bristol Bay, and it's comprised of coastal areas from the Aleutian Islands to the Northwest Arctic Borough. The department's data shows the rate of reported felony sex offenses in these areas is more than twice as high as the rest of the state. In Western Alaska, the most common victim age was 13 years old, 2 years younger than the most common victim across the state. The most common suspect age in Western Alaska was 28. In 80% of the offenses reported in the region, the victims were Alaska Native. Jonathan Taylor is the communications director for the department. He said the report is meant to be a barometer to give a clearer picture of the prevalence of sexual violence across the state. It doesn't explain why those crimes happen.
I think that the report exists to help folks sort of understand what the reality is on the ground for folks in many of these areas. But it doesn't answer the questions of why their rates are what they are. I think there can be many factors that can contribute to different types of crimes. And this perhaps serves as a starting point to start conversations and investigation and research into why these rates are what they are in different areas of the state.
Statewide, the department found that the number of incidents decreased slightly last year as compared to 2016. However, the number of victims increased by more than a quarter. Taylor said that more detailed reporting by law enforcement agencies could contribute to the apparent increase in victims. He said some agencies in previous years had not specified how many victims were involved in an incident. They may now be including that information in multi-victim cases. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lill.
Nicholas Galanin strives to create fearlessly. The Tlingit Anunga artist works in multiple mediums and from his home in Sitka has made a name for himself in the indigenous art world. Galanin just finished a solo retrospective at the Heard Museum in Phoenix, Arizona. KCAW's Emily Kwong visited him at his studio to talk about this major moment in his career.
I am working on some silver jewelry right now. So this is engraving, and it's gonna be a bracelet when it's done.
At his workshop in Sitka, all of Nicholas Galanin's attention is on a thin and shining piece of silver. Jewelry is where Galanin got his start. At 14, he began carving under the apprenticeship of his father, Dave Galanin. Rubbing oil-based clay on the silver, Galanin sketches a small circle. He brings a pneumatic hand engraver to the metal, moving slowly.
Build it as I go.
And pretty soon,
there's an eye.
The newly born eye of a raven looks back at us. Galanin used to design everything on paper and transfer the image to the silver. Now he trusts his line work and creates freely. His last desk job was at Sitka National Historical Park, greeting visitors.
Nobody was there. I didn't have anything to do, so I drew. And I was told that I can't do Tlingit art drawing there. I could only read Russian history books. So I quit. That was my last job. Like, that was non-creative related.
People don't celebrate the king anymore.
He's made a living from his art ever since, earning national and international recognition. Singer Erykah Badu is wearing his silver work in her latest Instagram photo. Galanin is a musician too, releasing an album last year with his band, Indian Agent. This is their song, Life Keeps On Spinning. 2018 has been a busy year for Galanin, but a lifetime in the making. Galanin released a 140-page monograph and led the carving of a totem pole.
That was a big side job. Because I was flying to Juneau and working 3 days a week, 12-hour days to start. At the end, we were working 20-hour days to finish it up.
But Galanin and his five apprentice carvers hit their mark. The 40-foot healing pole was raised in June to memorialize when the city of Douglas burned down the Douglas Indian Village in 1962. Even when working with traditional materials, Galanin has a call and response relationship with history. He tracks on the ways that indigenous people have been and are displaced, or indigenous cultures appropriated and commodified. And his work calls attention to that, boldly challenging the viewer and asking him or her, where do you stand? Take, for example, a pair of iron handcuffs, intricately engraved by Galanin with Tlingit imagery. He calls the work Indian Children's Bracelet, in reference to the separation of families through Native American boarding schools.
That's representation of that selective amnesia where somebody will look at these children's bracelets and if they just choose to look at the surface, they'll see the engraving and they'll see the Tlingit art form that they might appreciate and they will not see the full object or the history that that object tells.
And that's one of 50 such works in the exhibit. Galanin flips through his monograph, pointing out others. There's God Complex, police riot gear made out of porcelain. White Noise American Prayer Rug evokes the fuzz on a television screen. And We Dreamt Deaf is a taxidermied polar bear from Shishmaref. His unstuffed hindquarters appear to melt. It's a provocative statement about climate change.
They offer room for dialogue and progress. They're tools. The work is doing work.
Viewers have reacted all kinds of ways, he tells me, some saying the work made them uncomfortable. Opening night was particularly overwhelming. The group Shabazz Palaces was performing, and Galanin was getting approached on all sides.
It was like I walked into a pit of piranhas at the opening and was being fed upon by docents, white old ladies, and like, I don't know, they just were vicious. Basically, they were like demanding me to explain the work and myself and like these titles and all of these things.
Other viewers, especially native viewers, said the work made them feel seen and empowered. He reads me his favorite comments from Instagram, like this one.
I finally got the family to see the brilliant Dear Listener at Heard Museum. This experience has forever changed my spirit.
Dear Listener is the name of the exhibit, and Galanin's fully aware some of his most attentive listeners are his three children. They've seen the home studio in Sitka grow over the years.
Forever, like, holding new things and new objects, and every object has a conversation, and these conversations we're having now, I have with them.
And that is the most important part for Galanin. Not the art in the exhibit, but the conversations that come out of those willing to take the time, look, and listen. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.
An Alaska's high school swim team will take on the Bethel Warriors this weekend in a home meet. The Raiders competition starts Saturday morning at 10 o'clock at the Aquatic Center. Also this weekend, workshops devoted to wellness and activities on marine species. Starting tomorrow, the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association is hosting 3 days of workshops on youth and family health and wellness. The free events will include motivational speakers, behavioral health specialists, and more. Check out our online community calendar at kucb.org for more information and schedules. There, you'll also find the details on the Marine Invertebrate BioBlitz, organized by Alaska Sea Grant and the Smithsonian. The activity invites community members to learn about local marine species and help scientists collect specimens for research. The BioBlitz starts Saturday morning at 9:30 at the Burma Road Chapel and continues until 3 o'clock. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.